Okay, Chevra, we're learning Simin Kuf Tzadi Dalet still. I just want to make one or two points with you today that relate to mostly Kuf Tzadi Dalet Se'if Beis in terms of the Mechaber tells us that Betoichar Ba'im Yom, there's no concern of Vlad, but there is a concern for Nida Afilu Lo Ra'asa because of the rule of E. Efshar. In other words, if you have a miscarriage within 40 days, so we assume that although it's not a vlad, but there is going to be a concern of nida based on what's called e'ef shel psichas hakever b'lo dam, that it's not shayich to have some opening without blood coming out. Now, if you read the tshuva of the Noda Yehuda, sof simin kufchaf, which the piskei tshuva here refers to in Sifkat and Dalet. The Noda Yehuda Tainas, that there, when we talk about Psichas HaKever, there's no difference whether it's Psichas HaKever Mi Bifnim, or whether it's Psichas HaKever Mi Bachutz. And as such, if the doctor inserts his finger or some kli into the makar, so she's going to be Tmeya. Now, there are many Achrayim who disagree with the Noda of Yehuda. Noda of Yehuda's assertion that Psichas HaKever below Dam applies even to Psicha Mibachutz. And the whole Noda of Yehuda, by the way, is five lines. The Noda of Yehuda also writes at the end of that tshuva that even if the woman is Mesulekes Damim, she's a older woman or the like, still we'll say Ein Psichas HaKever below Dam. These points can both be argued upon, and the Achronim, in fact, take issue with both points of the Noda Yehuda, although Lamaisa, it seems, that the Noda Yehuda is accepted. So let's just talk about point one, that the Noda Yehuda says that there's Psichas HaKever Mibachot. Reb Baruch Frankel, in his Hagois on the Noda Yehuda, he, as the expression goes, jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and he says, I don't know what you, Noda Yehuda, are talking about, because l'maisa is no psichas hakever mibachot. You see, the Reb Baruch Frankel is arguing with a tshuva of the Maasas Binyamin. We spoke about your grandfather and the Maasas Binyamin on one occasion, but the Maasas Binyamin, in one of his tshuvas, understands that the way the makar works is that it is entirely full of dam all the time. Consequently, just like if I have a balloon and I make a hole in the balloon, the air inevitably comes out. If I puncture into the makar, dam will inevitably come out because dam is always inside that makar. That's what the Maasas Binyamin says. So Reb Baruch Frankel says, Rabbi Maasas Binyamin, you're a nice Jew and all, right? And all that. Rabbi Shulman Sr. really likes you. But at the same time, like, what the heck? That's not the way it works, because the makar is not completely full of dam. Rather, what you have is there are blood vessels and where the dam is contained, and there's no dam in the makar all the time. It just so happens that at certain times the body sends a signal and then the dam is pushed out from those vessels. But l'maisa, there's no dam in there all the time. And as such, says Reb Baruch Frankel, and I think in Metzias he's got to be correct, no? I don't think anyone would really say, my son was asking about this because he's doing the sugya in Ksuvus about dam mifka pocket or mivla bola, so it's not the easiest thing to explain to ninth graders in general, but okay, issues are in Ksuvus this year. But lemais, I don't think the Metzius is that there is just blood, like it's like a balloon or sorts. Rather, Reb Baruch Frankel is correct. And therefore, Zok Reb Baruch Frankel, so the whole idea of psichas hakever mibachutz should not exist, no? Because psichas hakever mibachutz only makes sense if it's full of dam, and then I puncture it till some blood comes out. But if you understand that you need, what's it called? That the dam is contained inside these veins and the body has to push it out? So then it's mistaber that the din of psichas hakever is only what we would call a psichas hakever mi bif Nim, na psichas hakever mibachot. Now the Chochmas Adam is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, and the Chochmas Adam disagrees. Again, the Pischei Tshuva doesn't quote that he fundamentally disagrees with the din of Ein Psichas HaKever Mibachutz, right? But if you look in the Chochmas Adam, in fact, he disagrees. The Chochmas Adam is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva as only disagreeing with the Nekuda and the Noida Behuda that a finger can cause Psichas HaKever. Zot the Chochmas Adam, your finger isn't that big. Your finger doesn't go that far in. If it would, so then every woman, when she tries to do a bedika to make herself tahura, is becoming tamea. No? That can't work. So Elamai, there's no such thing as psichas hakever with a finger. But if you look at the Chochmas Adam, he says there's no psichas hakever mibachot also. Ad kan divrei hanoide b'Yehuda v'hacholken olav. Many point out that this issue really depends. We encountered a Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Pei Ches, where the Beis Yosef discussed the question of Ras Adam Bishvil Feres, which we pass in this Tahar. That's Tahar Legamri. The Beis Yosef asks, one second, why are you Tahar Legamri? Shouldn't there be a problem with Psichas HaKever when you stick that Shvil Feres in? Now, that's the Beis Yosef's Kasha. The Beis Yosef in that Beis Yosef's Kasha, that he's paskening that there is Psichas HaKever mibachutz. And in fact, all of the later poskim seem to hold l'maisa of this Psichas HaKever mibachutz, even though they really take seriously the idea that there might not be. The Chazon Ish, for example, Simen Pei Gimel on the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish begins his essay by saying, why would you assume that this Psichas HaKever mibachutz? L'm'utei b'plukta odif. There's a machlekes hatanoyim. Whether we pass an efshe psichas hakever b'loidam or iyeshe psichas hakever b'loidam. No? If you're going to say that we hold iyeshe psichas hakever b'loidam and we hold it even on a psichas hakever mibachut, that means that we're making this very, very big machlokas, no? That the opinion that says iyeshe psichas hakever b'loidam hold that no matter what, there's going to be a psichas hakever. And the other opinion is that there's never psichas hakever. If the machlokes is only mibefnim, and we all hold that mibachutz, there's no such thing, so it's a much more narrow machlokes, and we'd rather have narrow machlokesim in Judaism rather than wide machlokesim in Judaism. That's point one in the Chazon Ish and Pei Gimel Sifkat and Aleph. What's interesting to note is that the Chazon Ish and Pei Gimel Sifkat and Beis seems to change his mind, no? In one paragraph. Chazon Ish at the end of Sifkat and Beis quotes a raya from a goyin at the end of Kuf Pei Ches, where the goyin seems to say that this psichas hakever miba chutz also. And all the Jews in Bnei Brak, Haboim Achar HaChazon Ish, they all say that what? That Lamaisa, the Chazon Ish was choshish of psichas hakever miba chutz. So, Lamaisa, it seems that the approach of Morei Hora'a is to be machmir on this. However, we have a question, though. The Rambam paskins, that's Efshel Psichas HaKever B'Loidam. So, frekt the Avnei Nezer and the Tshuva Simen Reish Chof Dalet, why don't we nem on that there's a Svek Sveka? Maybe I hold Efshel Psichas HaKever B'Loidam. Even if you hold Efshel Psichas HaKever B'Loidam, maybe you hold like those Achronim, the Rebbe Baruch Frank on the others, that there's no such thing as Psichas HaKever Mibachutz. So you always have a Svek Sveka. I could add, by the way, a third Suffolk, no? The third Suffolk in terms of how large does the Kli have to be to create a Psichas HaKever. That we'll talk about in a few minutes. But, L'cha Pacha, Svek Sveka you have. So let's say that we should be Mako on every question of Psichas HaKever based on the Svek Sveka. Maybe the Rambam's right. And maybe there's no Psichas HaKever Mibachutz. Right? In other words, this comes up all the time when women go for gynecological procedures, no? So the books, if you look in Rabbi Forst's book, he has all these rules that you have to find out from the doctor, A, the name of the procedure to ask the rabbi, B, what's the name of the instrument that they used, how large that instrument is, whether the procedure is presumed to cause bleeding or not to cause bleeding. Right? They have all the rules. Now, Lamaisa, if you hold this Svek Sveka, so then chick-chack-a-booey, right? There's no real problem because So next week, it's going to be mutter. That's the comment that they ask. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, in Chelek Gimel of Or HaChaim, Siman Kuf, Rav Moshe entertains this Svekspeka. The Rav Moshe says, you can't do that. And his line is that Amachloikas HaAchronim isn't called a Suffolk. That's very interesting, no? On a fundamental level, I think all of Chacham Ovadia's Tshuvas would be out of business if you hold that way. Okay? All that Chacham Ovadia does is he makes Svekspekas based on Amachloikas HaAchronim. Rav Moshe in this line, it's a very powerful line. He says, who says Amputa Bein HaAchronim is considered a Svekspek? I don't know the lumdus of this. Why would it be a suffix? Why would it not be a suffix? I'm not sure.
He knew how to paskin.
So I could be machriya, machlekes, but he's not machriya, right? If I would have a raya, I have a gemara or something, I got it. But if I don't have such a raya, so it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult, it seems, to assume just like fundamentally that it's not a suffix. Again, certainly Chacham Ovadia would not assume that way. Now, Avni Nezer, in the Tshuvan Simen Reish Chof Dalet, basically has the same question. Let's assume that's a Svek Svek. And Avni Nezer answers it's not a Svek Svek because it's really Chad a Suffik, no? Because the Suffik is whether there was Dam or whether there wasn't Dam. Nor of us, you have two different reasons why there might not be Dam. Maybe there's no Dam because there's no such thing Mibachutz. Yeah, but if there is such a thing, it's Dam. Maybe there's no Dam because we pass in Esher Psichas Akever Boy Dam. Yeah, but if Efshar, it's Efshar. Now, that's what Avni Nezer says. It's Simin Reish Chof Dalet and Avni Nezer, letter Yud Beis. In that Tshuva, it's interesting what we spoke about a number of times in the context of Sveikas by Ksumim and the like, is it could be that you don't even need, that even Shem Echad might count. No? We spoke about this on a few occasions, but the Avni Nezer's approach to reject this Svek Sveika is interesting. I'm not 100% sure I understand it, but good enough. Now, how big does the instrument have to be to create a Psichas HaKever? How big does that instrument have to be? So, like everything in Judaism, it's a Machlokas, no? And they're all using, basically, the Noida B'Yehuda. All the modern poskim who are machmer use the Noda B'Yehuda. Noda B'Yehuda speaks about that if I stick my finger in, then there's going to be a psichas hakever. But hello, what finger is it? Ki pasayach tiftach es yodcha. You open your hand, the different fingers have different sizes, no? We're not even talking about the Noda B'Yehuda's fingers that lead to Pesach Shiurim. So about normal fingers, right? So, which finger is it? So if Moshe Feinstein, Shuva, Chelek Gimel, Orechaim, Simin, Kuf, the Moshe says that Stam finger is this finger, and therefore the shear is going to be, he says, 3/4 inch, which equals roughly 19 millimeters, no? The Pritahara, in his notes on the Taz, in Simen Kuf Peches, assumes that finger is pinky finger. Pinkies are smaller than index fingers, no? And therefore, according to the Pritahara shear, it is approximately 15 millimeters, no? The Rabbi Forrest in his Sefer quotes others, I think Tshuva Mincha Shai, who says that the finger that we're talking about is the biggest of all fingers. It is the thumb, which ends up being 24.5 millimeters, no? About 1 inch, as opposed to 3/4 inch that Rav Moshe has. Okay, that's the share. Now, I don't know why this itself won't cause like an additional suffix to be included, but again, if we have Avni Nezer's reasoning, so then got it, right? Then we can't be mitzdarif, and Rav Moshe Sfar also would help why it's not a real Svek Sveika. Now, our assumption is that we're based on the Noida B'Yehuda. Noida B'Yehuda said Etzba, and we're just not sure which Etzba it is. However, there are two other approaches that can be taken over here. Approach number one is that Beis Yosef in Kuf Peches, who asks the Kasha that the Shvoferes should be a Psichas HaKever. So how big is a tube? How big is that Shvoferes? We don't know. So Beis Yosef said basically it ends up being the smallest possible tube. How big is the smallest possible tube? How big is your coffee stirrer? Divided, right? We don't know, but could be tiny. If that's the shear, it could mamish be tiny, and anything would be a psichas hakever. the Goyin in Kuf Peches, Oschaf Gimel, the last Gra in the Simen, the Goyin says, look in the Mishnah in Ahalos Perek Zayin Mishnah Dawad. That's what the Goyin says. In Ahalos Perek Zayin Mishnah Dawad, the Mishnah is talking over there about a pregnant woman who's going from house to house, and she has a hapala, she has a miscarriage, and the baby comes out. You want to know which house is tummy. Now, usually we assume that when you are in the process of parturition, you cannot walk. That's a fancy word for not being for being in labor, no? In partu, right? So, generally speaking, you can't walk. The Mishnah, however, says that lamaisa, that's only if you're going to have a real baby. If it's going to be a nafel, then you can walk even when you're in labor. And the question is, which house is the tummy house? And in that context, the Mishnah says something about psichas hakever being a melo hapika, the size of like some sort of spool of thread. Now, how big is the spool of thread? I also have no idea. But according to the Goyin, right, there is some sort of shear that we are using, that shear of melo hapika. Now, it's worth noting that that Mishnah on Ahalos, Perek Zayin, was not just a discovery of Elijah Kramer of Vilna, who was a smart Jew, but there are smart Jews even before the Goyin who knew the Mishnah in Ahalos, and one of them is the Ravid. The Ravid in Shar HaPrisha, it's on page Yud Dalet in the Buchwald editions of the Ravid. The Ravid over there says something as follows. The Ravid asks Akasha, what are we talking about? Psichas HaKever, you know, give me a shear. I have a shear. I have an often a Mishnah in Ahalos. Right, the Ravid asks exactly this question. I think I brought a Ravid. Oh, I brought a Ravid. Right, the Ravid asks exactly this question from the Mishnah in Ahalos. So Zuck the Ravid, no siri. Ikum man to amad. Lo, I mean, yeshab psichas HaKever lo dam elam klein havlad gadol. And it's pika of tzemer and shel shesi. It's like the top of the spool of tzemer shesi. So some say that you need a vlad that's gadol for yashab psichas hakever. The Ravid rejects this. And this is Sidre Tahara, who mamish says lock, stock, and barrel, the same thing as the Ravid. Also interesting. Says the Ravid, lav milsehi. Wrong. Choda, delo yadin and shir hapika mahu. Yeah, how big is the spool? Okay, fine. The ode, de ha barirna da fil le ruach nami aminan hachi. Maybe we'll talk about that line in a few minutes, that there's psichas hakever even for ruach. The ode, that a shapi merukam is the size of a sal'am, which is smaller than a pika, etc., so that can't be. Ella, rather, how do you deal with that Mishnah? Hahi masnisen lava yitzias dam kai, ella arisha de masnisen kai diktonia ishishi makshalelet, voti uha mi bias la bias, harishon tami besafek, vashen tami bevadai, Reb Yehuda, etc. In other words, what we're trying to figure out is, in the Mishnah, oh, let's talk about Tomas Mace, not Tomas Nida. We want to know, when I say psichas hakever, does the psichas hakever mean that the nafel came out in house one, or do I say that maybe it comes out in house two? Bekahagavna, in terms of Tumas Oiha, we say, Mishaniftach HaKever, you can't walk, right? Halav hachi, apishaniftach HaKever, yesh panay lahalech, vabayas harishon tami besafik. Ula olan inyan dam, bekulho iyaf shabalo dam. Meaning, what the Ravid is really saying is that, le'inyan nida, we're going to say ef shel psichas hakever b'lo dam, no matter how big the opening is. When we say that you need the opening of a pika, that's talking about for tumas oihel, to say that it came out and now the house is going to be tamei. So for that you need the opening of a pika. That's really what the Ravid is saying is the pshat in the Mishnah. Now, if you read the Mefarshim on that Mishnah in Ahalos, the Rambam and the Rash are really disagreeing precisely about that point. Right? In other words, that line in the Mishnah of Iyash HaPsichas HaKever, unless it's Rosh Kepika, is it going back on the din of Tumas Ohel? Or is it talking about what we call Psichas HaKever in terms of Tumas Nida? Is it Beferish Machlokes Rash and Rambam there? And the Ravid is disagreeing with the Rambam. which is probably standard for a Ravid, no? So it's worth noting that that Mishnah Perek Zayin of Ahalos, that everyone says, oh, the Goyin was amazing. Yeah, Goyin was amazing, but the Ravid said it before him. Right? That's really what we're trying to say. Good? Now, the work Mishmeres HaTahara. Thank you, Rabbi Hoffman. So the work Mishmeres HaTahara has an interesting take on this whole situation of the Ravid. You see, the Mishmeres HaTahara contends that the Ravid is not talking about, or let me take a step back. Tosfos on Daf Chaf Beis and Nida. Tosfos already says that there is some shear for Psichas HaKever, which seems like against that Beis Yosef and against the Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch. It has to be the size of the smallest tube, which could be anything. Right, today you have tubes that can be, no? Some of the tubes that they stick in, like with the cameras, when they are inserting them into your heart arteries, they're mamish tiny, no? There's no real shear for the smallest possible tube. The Beis Yosef assumes that there's no shear, but Tosfos assumes that there is a shear, and let me explain. There's a machlokes hatanoim at the beginning of Perakama Pelas Chaticha, whether we pass an Eshel Psicha Sekever Bolodam or Eshel Psicha Sekever Bolodam. Rabbi Yehuda holds Eshel Psicha Sekever Bolodam. Now, the parak begins Hamat Pelas Chaticha. Then the parak continues with the dinim that are at the end of Kufzadi Dalet, Hamat Pelas Kimin Dagim, Kimin Chagovim, etc. Now you give birth to stuff that looks like Mazel Tov, it's a fish. Right? Stuff like that. Not exactly what you expect to hear. But okay, right? That's what comes up in the end of the Siman. By the way, the Tshuva Me'ahavos discussion quoted in the Pische Tshuva is fascinating. If you have a baby that looks like an animal, are you allowed to kill it? No? Whatever, that's frightening and scary and everything like that. But on that Gemara of Hamapelas Kimin Dagim Kimin Chagovim, so the Gemara also asks, "V'liflo gnami Reb Yehuda b'ha? How come if Reb Yehuda holds Irsha Psichas Akeva B'loi Dam, right? How come Reb Yehuda says my Pelas Kimin Dagim and Chagovim is going to be Tahar? Say Irsha Psichas Akeva B'loi Dam. That's the Gemara's Kasha. And for the Gemara Chaf Beis Hamid Beis, according to Reish Lakish and Ochanami, and Reb Yochanan has an answer. He says that no, that really you can't say Irsha Psichas Akeva B'loi Dam because Dam will never morph into something that looks like Dagim and Chagovim. Right, so it has to not be dam. It has to be something else, because dam won't harden to look like dagim chagav. And that's Rabbi Yochanan's answer there in the Gemara. So Tosfos on Chaf Beis, Tosfos points out, one second, how come the Gemara is only asking on Mapelas Kimin dagim and chagavim? We have another case in the Hemshech of the Mishnah, a third case, Hamapelas Kimin Cyrus, that you give birth to things that look like little hairs. And we don't ask that kasha, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Liflognami Rabbi Yehuda Baha. How come the Gemara is only asking it on case 2 in the Mishnah, Hamapelas Kimin Dagim? Ask it on case 3 of the Mishnah, Hamapelas Kimin Cyrus. And for Tosfos, Cyrus are too small for Psichas HaKever. Ooh. Zetman, you see, that Tosfos holds that there's a shear, Psichas HaKever. Tosfos HaRosh over there says, one second, no, that's not the real answer. The real answer could be that the Gemara has no need to ask Hamapelas Kimin on Hamapelas Kimin Cyrus, because the answer that Rabbi Yochanan gives in the Gemara of Dam never morphs into Dagim and Chagovim would be true about Cyrus also. Dam never morphs into something that looks like Cyrus. That's what Tosa Rosh answers. That's what the Rashash answers there on the Gemara also. You see from them that they are not saying that there is zero shear whatsoever, Psichas HaKever. No? Tosfos holds that there is a shear. I'll say it like this. Tosfos holds there is a shear, Psichas HaKever. Right? The Tosfos HaRosh in his second answer, and in the Rashash, they are saying, no, the Gemara holds, really, that there is no shear for Psichas HaKever. Right? How come we don't ask the Kasha on Kimin Cyrus? Because we already have the answer, a different answer that's found in the Gemara. Meaning that they would say a kol shehu, which is really what the Beis Yosef comes out with, that this year is anything, not what the gong comes out with. It would seem that you could be a brisker over here. And if you look in the work Chokuzman, now Chokuzman is written by Rabbi Bleich's son, but I'm not talking about Rabbi Bleich who is here in Yeshiva. There's a Rabbi Bleich who's been in Gross for like the last 1,000 years, Rabbi Reuven Bleich. You know what I'm talking about? He's not there anymore. White beard. He was my Talmud. Like, he was here in YU for 1 year. He came to some Ashiram and stuff. And then he went to Gross. He must be in his 80s. He got Smicha like when he was 78.
Yeah, I can.
Right? So that's Rabbi Bleich. He's been around for a while. So now, 1 second. Maybe I have to remember to put my phone on vibrate.
Was he related to Rabbi Bleich?
No, not at all. But that Rabbi Bleich from Gross, his son had been, one son is the chief rabbi of the Ukraine, and another son wrote this book, Chok Uzman on Nida. That son who wrote the book Chok Uzman on Nida just applied to be the rabbi of my parents' shul. So my father was able to have a good time and walked over to him and said, oh, by the way, you know, your father's a Talmud of my son. Right, which is kind of cool. But whatever. So the fact is, in the Sefer Chok Uzman, he says the following pshat. It's on page Kuf Lamed Vav, Kuf Lamed Zayin, in the Chok Uzman. It says a fun thing. You know, the Acharonim all discuss, when you talk about Psichas HaKever, Psichas HaMokor, whatever we're talking about, are we talking about the external as, which is the area that goes between the cervix and the vagina? Or are we talking about the internal as that goes from the cervix into the uterus? Right? Yesh La'ayin. What are we talking about? Internal as or external as? Now, Hachush Meir, and this is a point that the Nishmas Avram makes, that there is no instrument wider than 3 millimeters that will ever penetrate the internal as. No? It ain't going to happen. The external as, you're also not going to penetrate with anything. 15 millimeters is pretty rare. 15 millimeters is really big. And all the Paiskim say, you know what, Lamaisa, this concern of real psichas hamakar doesn't happen so often with gynecological procedures because the instruments, unless you're really going under on anesthesia, it's very rare that they're not going to penetrate the internal os unless you go under. And the external os is also not penetrated generally by instruments beyond 15 millimeters. It doesn't happen in mitzvahs. But okay, zolzayim. Now, we could say, though, and the Chok Uzman has the following suggestion, that maybe there's a different shear for Psichas HaMokar by the external as and by the internal as, no? In other words, Ken Min Zogin, like this, that if you want to talk about Psichas HaMokar that penetrates mamish into the uterus all the way, so such a situation, a kosher who would become Tameh, no? But if you want to say there's a Psichas HaMokar by the external as, so then you need some sort of shear. When the Beis Yosef basically says that there's no shear, we had a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and who? The Pashtus and the Rush, I think we thought, about how deep does that Shofaris have to extend? Does the Shofaris have to extend all the way into the uterus? Right? Or is it enough that the Shofaris extends beyond? Our suggestion that Beis Yosef has a zero shear, that the smallest possible tube, which is the same as saying zero shear, right? That suggestion would be saying, oh, he means internal os. Internal os, taka, anything that goes in it potentially could create a psichas hamokar. I think that's a reasonable type of suggestion, that the larger shirim are when it enters the external os, and the smaller shirim, or the zero shear, as we're saying, right, the shear of the rashash, would be when you penetrate the internal os. That's a suggestion that we could make, which is worth thinking about. But let's, lemaisa, the achrenim are machmir, when you have a psichas hakever mibachutz, a psichas hakever even it only goes to the external os, no? L'chayr, we just now have a fourth suffix. You have the Rambam, maybe Efsher, right? You have the shayla of psichas hakever mibachutz, Neida Bihuda versus Rebar Frankel. You have the shayla of how large the machshir has to be, and you also have, right, what's the fourth shallow that we just raised? Internal as versus external as. One can contend that there is possibly a suffix, 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 no? However you would say that. I don't know. It's certainly worth thinking about. Now, there is a position of the She'otos. The She'otos holds that E F Shalop Psychos Akeber Bleidam is true only on a Psychos Akeber beyond 40 days of growth. Less than 40 days of growth is going to be nothing. In other words, against Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Not my past, but Teichar Ba'im Yoyim Yechoshashes Mishum Nida because Iyashem Psichas Akever Bo'odam." Shulto says, "No, Toch Arba'im Yom. We don't say Iyef Shalop Psichas Akever Bo'odam." It's very possible that Rashi holds this way. Rashi on Chaf Aleph writes about Iyashem Psichas Akever Bo'odam. That's Dam Leida. No, Dam Leida would seem that it has to be a Yoledes, which requires Arba'im Yom. That's the position of the Shultos. The Ravid argues on the She'otos, and the Ravid says, one second, you don't need a real Leda. The parak is called Hamapalas Chaticha. You give birth to some sort of blob. No? Mazel tov, it's a blob. Right? So you give birth to some sort of blob, that's Hamapalas Chaticha, but Chaticha is not really a vlad. So you see that the She'otos is wrong. Comes on the Bahamar in his Hasagos on the Bali HaNefesh, the Bahamar says, No, lav kushehi shachaticha afa b'she'in of lad mikom makom nigmura b'riyos ala achar mem liyos basar v'yesh b'psichas hakever. In other words, 40 days of growth of the chaticha is enough to create a psichas hakever issue. Okay, that's basically what goes on. Now, if you hold that the she'otos is correct, that you require Psichas HaKever of a Vlad after 40 days. So the Pashtus is that the Psichas HaKever has to be Mibafnim, not Mibachutz, no? It's like not reasonable at all that we're talking about Psichas HaKever Mibachutz and still the Svara, I just don't think that's reasonable. Now, comes along the Mishmeres HaTahara. And he wants to say that maybe what the Ravid means is something similar to the She'otos, but not exactly like the She'otos. Let me explain. When the Ravid is saying that when we talk about stuff that's very small, and stuff that's very small, that there is no Psichas HaKever, maybe the idea is that it's not like a Leda at all. Maybe the idea is that Psichas HaKever requires some sort of Leda. Cyrus, hairs that come out, don't have to be expelled from the body. I don't have to push them out. They're such small things that kilo they fall out on their own, and the body doesn't have to push them out. And as such, maybe, right, he wants to say this within the Ravid and within Tosis. Maybe when Tosis says that Cyrus is no Psichas HaKever, it's not just because that they're small, but rather it means precisely because they're small, there's no force of the body that's expelling them out. And the Yesod of Psichas HaKever, again, this makes sense according to Rabbi Frankel, that there's only Psichas HaKever mibefnim. The Yesod of Psichas HaKever is that I push it out. But something that falls out and doesn't have to be pushed out, that's not a din of Psichas HaKever at all. Says Rabbi Karp that even though the Ravid argues on the She'otos, and the Ravid says that there's going to be Psichas HaKever on the Chaticha, and therefore you see that you don't need a Vlad Gomor, but that's something that what? That's something that the body is pushing out. But something that the body is not pushing out at all, there's no Psichas HaKever. Effectively, his argument, Rabbi Karp's argument, even though he doesn't really say it, is that he's trying to contend that most Rishonim paskin against the Neid of Yehuda, no? Effectively, his whole shtickle Torah is that we only say Psichas HaKever when my body pushes it out, no? And Cyrus comes out on their own. If that's the case, we're basically saying there's no such thing as Psichas HaKever Mibachutz, correct? He doesn't say it explicitly, but I really think that he's arguing that the Rishonim, right, Ra'ivet and Taisvis and the She'ilto certainly, that they're all going to say there's no such thing as Psichas HaKever Mibachut. I think that's his understanding. One of the questions that comes up with gynecological procedures is, are you allowed, again, to say, you know what, don't tell me if there was no blood. Or don't tell me if there was blood. Right? I gotta say, don't tell me if there was blood. So Rabbi Forrest on page 444 says that a woman cannot say, don't tell me, but a woman doesn't have to look. Right? And as I can't say, don't tell me, that's like closing your eyes and ignoring reality, but I don't have to look to see if there's dam or there's no dam. That's what the, that's Rabbi Forrest. In the Pre-Tahara also, he says that, you know what, you don't have to look. My understanding, however, is that you can't ignore the mitzvah. If I go for certain procedures, like an IUD insertion, no? An IUD insertion, IUD is an intrauterine device. When they put these things in, it's very likely that there's bleeding. Now, the bleeding is also going to be bleeding from the uterus, no? Now, it might be it's damaka from the uterus, which is dinai kekesem, according to Rav Shechter. There's a steer in the Chazon Ish about this nekuda, about damaka from a uterus, damaka from the makar. But hayotze, there certainly is bleeding. I think the idea of not willfully ignoring something makes sense if it's a type of procedure that you don't know if there's going to be blood, there's not going to be blood, then you don't have to look. But the type of procedure that the overwhelming majority of cases is that there is blood. So then to say, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to do anything, I'll say, oh, I didn't see the blood, I didn't see it. No. It seems to me that that's not proper. Now, Lamaisa, IUD insertion. Now, what's the mitzvah about IUD insertion? How long it bleeds for? Can you be tola? My understanding from the Rebbeim and Yeshiva, I spoke to Rabbi Sobolowski and to Rav Shechter about this, they feel that it's damaka from a makar, which is dino kikesem, but it's only dino kikesem, obviously, if it's a small amount of blood. If it's a large amount of blood, saying we can't really say it's a kesem anymore because that approximates some sort of re'ia, how much, where the boundary between small amount and large amount is like one of the greatest mysteries in Judaism. But Lamaisa, I think the Rebbeim and Ar Yeshiva, in other places, I once spoke to Rav Yatz Rimon, who Rav Yatz Rimon is like one of the he's the Rav in Alon Shvut. He wrote the Sefer on Shemitah. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. So Rav Yatz felt that you could be Tola, that's Damaka. He gave me some share, I think, for 5 days without any difficulty. You could be Tola that all the bling is Damaka. I think the Rebbeim here in Yeshiva are more machmir, and they assume that you have to wear colored underwear. If it comes out on white, it's going to be tummy after IUD insertion, and if it's a very large amount, it's going to be tummy also. Yeah, Mrs. Strauss, you had a comment? No. Yeah. That's my understanding about IUD insertion. Now, again, I'm going to try to get in touch with Dr. Chudnov and ask him to come and present about a lot of gynecological procedures. Rabbi Forrest, in his work at the end of Chelak Beis, went back on his whole list of gynecological procedures. There's a lot that has to be known. Generally speaking, though, most cases is no concern of psichas pihamakar because the instrument is not large enough in most cases. If it penetrates the internal os, so then it would seem, based on the way we're saying it, that anything would create an issue. But once you penetrate the internal os, anyway, there's going to be bleeding from the uterus. And uterine bleeding will be at least, you know, kekesem, based on the way Rav Shechter paskins, and Rabbi Sobolowski seems to paskin that way as well. Good? So that is some of these conversations. I wanted to talk very briefly just about some of the issues that come up, which are difficult issues in people's lives when they happen, which are hapolas, if you have a miscarriage. Hapala requires obviously a waiting of, it's a suffix whether the baby's a boy or a girl. They often do a genetic test. If you have a later term Hapala, they do a genetic test often to find out if it was a male or a female. But they
why
don't.
Do they care?
What do they care? They don't care. They don't care ki huzeh. But they want to find out if you have a late-term miscarriage or what they call fetal demise. They want to find out what caused it, and in the course of doing genetic tests, they will find out if it's a boy or a girl. We have a minig in Shulchan Aruch that is done, that if it's a nephil, that's a boy, so malan oso al kivraso, no, that you do some sort of mila. If it's a girl, obviously we don't do a mila, we don't believe in that. We have traditions that come from the Chachmei Ashkenaz that we give the baby a name. I have to admit, at one point my wife had an 8th month miscarriage. It was a very difficult time, obviously, and I wanted to name the baby. Because the Ars Arua writes that the reason why you give the baby a name is that you want to give some sort of names which are in the family, because La'asad Lavai, you're going to be able to identify based on saying, calling out a name, and like the person will come to you. So I wanted to give some sort of name from the family. I have to admit, the Breyer's Chevra Kadisha did not allow me to do this. They have their traditions about which names they give, and that's what they do.
They pick the name?
They pick the name. No, they go, all girls are Dina, and all boys are, I forgot already. They have their tradition of how they do it in the Breyer's Chevra. Fregnish Kinkashas. This is... I remember Rabbi Katzenstein was like very upset with me. I don't think he knew who I was at that time. But. Now, Lemaisa, if you have
a... You could give a name.
You're supposed to do it at the time of the Kfura. And the Kfura doesn't happen often. Like, they leave the baby. This isn't like anyone's priority, so they'll leave the baby in the hospital until they do the genetic test, so it could be like months later. And they called me. The Chevra called me at some point. They said, by the way, we just did a kvura, and it was like 2 months later or something. That's actually when I got to know Dr. Chudnov the first time. Something went wrong in the procedure removing that baby from my wife, and it was just like very difficult to become tahora. It was taking months afterwards. And we went to Dr. Chudnov, and he found out that they messed up in the original D and E, dilation and evacuation, which is a fancy term for an abortion. But they're doing an abortion on a dead baby, obviously. So there were like some bone spurs that remained, and Baruch Hashem, Dr. Chanda found it. It was a difficult time. It's very difficult. Now, when you have one of these hapalas, obviously there's no concern for a vesas, no? Even if it's a very early hapala, the Rav Wozner in the Shevet Halevi, Rav Wozner Zichron Levrach in the Shevet Halevi, he paskins that if you passed or failed, whatever, the pregnancy test, and then you have a hapala, so it's not going to be a concern for a vesas, even within 40 days. The shaila that comes up sometimes is after a miscarriage, so does the Vlad Haba Acharav require Pidyan HaBen? So in Yerideya Simen Shin Hei Sivchof Gimel, the Rama paskins, unless there's Riko Mevarim, unless the limbs begin to look like something, it has like Tzuras HaVlad, which is usually assumed to be around 5 months, so there is no Pidyon. Unless there's Riko Mevarim, so the Vlad HaBa'acharav is Chayiv in Pidyon. If there was Riko Mevarim in the first one, so Vlad HaBa'acharav is going to be Pater from Pidyon. This, unfortunately, was presented wrong in the Koren Sachs Siddur. I think in all the Koran Siddurim. It says that a firstborn child, unless there was a previous miscarriage, gets Pidyon HaBen. I had someone in my shul who had a baby, and there was no Pidyon HaBen. And eventually, like, whatever, we started a conversation, why was there no Pidyon HaBen? And like, oh, they saw, like, if there's a miscarriage beforehand, so there's no Pidyon HaBen. Well, that's wrong. Because if it's like a very early miscarriage, and there's no Riko Mevarim, so there is a Pidyon HaBen, and we pass that you do the Pidyon Mita Bracha. Look at the Pisrei Tshuva there, Sifkatim Chavtes, Sifkatim Lamed, we do the Pidyon with a Bracha in those cases. So that sometimes like the English Siddurim, or when all the poskim scream about the Kitzurei Dinim, they blow it. Right? We ended up doing a Pidyon HaBen like on a Sunday morning or something, like... A very quick Pidyon HaBen, just like buy some bagels and let's do it, because you know, well, obviously you have to have a Pidyon HaBen. One of the issues that comes up with a Vlad, with a fetal demise, is that there is a kvura that we do in it, like we mentioned. The minhug is that we don't do a kvura unless the baby is around 5 months of development. That we don't do kvura short of that. That is based on the Sefer that Rav Shechter quotes that Rav Gifter told them to pask in Shilas and Avelos based on the Chaim Uberachon Mishmer Shalom. Again, we're trying to segue between Nida and Avelos. So that's why we're having lots of happy conversations. So that's the issue over there that we don't. That's the issue over there. One of the questions is, can you trust the doctors? And the doctors say there was a fetal demise. I remember getting very nervous. And the doctor said it's a fetal demise, and they want to abort the baby the next morning. They want to do it very quickly. So I was very nervous. Am I allowed to trust the doctors? The Pleiskim will say that, that if the doctor is a guy, they don't have nemanus on dinim d'oraisa. Abortion is a din d'oraisa. So I remember trying to get in touch with Rav Shechter. I couldn't. I called Rabbi Sabalowski on this phone. So I was like, I don't know, you have to speak to Rabbi Willick or something. So I tried to get Rabbi Willick, couldn't get him. Finally, when I got Rabbi Willick late that night, so Rabbi Willick said that there's no way that they're going to do the procedure without doing a second sonogram beforehand. They just, the metzias is, they always do a second one, and you do have two opinions. Which, I mean, you have to know metzias sometimes also about stuff. And Rabbi Willick is very good for these things. Then the child came up with Rabbi Willick at that point. We were sharing a babysitter, or my wife, I don't know if we were sharing a babysitter. My wife's, one of her close friends is Sarah Wiederblank. Rabbi Wiederblank, as you know, is a Kohen. So the Shaila is this one I didn't tell my wife about. If you have a dead baby inside you, are you allowed to be in the same ohel as a Kohen?
Hope she's not listening to this year.
Hope not, right? So I don't think she knows about this. Rav Shechter, in his Sefer, Be'ikvei Hatzon, Rav Shechter has an essay where he wants to argue that the Isser of Tumas Kehanim is not a din based on Tumah and Tahara. We pass in the Tahara Balua is not, doesn't become Tumah, and Tumah Balua is not Metame, anything else, but the Isser of Tumas Kehanim might be a din in based on Kreva Lames, coming close. A Kohen shouldn't be in the proximity of dead bodies. I had the Shaila at home one time when my wife was actually reading there was no Kohen at home then. My wife was reading a biography of one of my aunts, and my aunt mentioned that her third husband's second wife, not her, third husband's second wife, was in a particular vase that looked like a fist. Okay, work of art, looked like a fist, whatever. So my wife is like, that's really interesting. That looks over there, like on top of the piano. She picks it up and it says, Barbara. So then the Swinglish can cash us. So the Shaila is a coin allowed to be tum, is a coin allowed to be near Afer Hanisrafim, no? So we pass Afer Hanisrafim is not Mitame, but one could argue, Shechter has us in that same shtickle, that the Isser of Tumas Kehanim might be in Kreva in coming close rather than the Din in Tumah. And therefore, even if it's not Metame, maybe you can't come close. And Rav Shechter in the footnote 7 in that article, says, well, maybe based on this, if you know the baby is dead, you shouldn't be in the same room as a Kayan. And he says that he spoke to a certain Chacham, and the Chacham was Mekon on this, and he didn't understand why the Chacham was Mekon, and that's the footnote. So I asked Rabbi Wag, I'm like, okay, what did I do? Did I tell my wife not to go to the weeder blanks? He's like, why? So I say, So he's like, don't say. All right, okay, fine. They didn't say anything. Yeah, whatever. I think we left this one up with Rabbi. We relied on Rabbi Willig for this one. This was an exciting issue. The issue of Kvuras Nefalim, by the way, is a big machlokes between the Mechaber and the Magen Avraham, Hagos Maimoni and the Magen Avraham, and Simitav Kuf Chafav, Ayin Shom Mishnah Berurah. There's no discussion. We're not going to give the full Avelos here now, but it's somewhat relevant to this. And, okay. So, thank you for listening, and I apologize for going a little bit over time.